Hello, and welcome back to the Train Smart, Run Strong podcast. I'm your co-host, Vicky, and I'm here with everyone's best running friend, Treg. Hey, Treg.
Hey, Vicky. Hey, everyone. We wanted to bring you all into our long run conversations so you can spend your runs, or whatever it is you're doing, chatting, thinking, and hopefully laughing along with us.
We're so thankful you're here, and we hope you have a wonderful run and enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, we have a great episode for you guys today. How you doing today, Treg?
I am doing well. It is Friday.
It's Friday, baby. It's like fake spring though again because the weather has dipped down once again and it's raining. So we've had some serious hot weather that is making me almost regret wanting summer back, but I'm still kind of ready.
Yeah, I'm in the phase where I've actually pulled down my summer clothes from my closet shelf, but I haven't fully committed to the bit yet because it's all sitting in a bag at the base of my bed and it's like definitely starting to annoy me. But I'm glad I haven't, because there have been days, and I have gone so far as to put away my running long sleeves, but not away, they're just in a bag hanging on a door.
That's a step farther than what I did, because I can't commit to that yet. I'm a long sleeve girly though. I'd rather sweat.
I have reached into that bag thrice over the course of this week. So
that's New York City spring for you.
So yeah, perhaps it was a bit premature. We've talked about this before, but Vicky and I will go on runs, and if you just take two separate pictures of us, you might think it's on a different day.
It's so true. I will be wearing like a full-on jacket and leggings, and Treg is in like a sports bra and shorts.
Yeah.
And like maybe a headband.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I'm all for the sports bra, shorts, headband, and gloves. Like yeah, that's me. I don't know. It's high fashion.
I'm jealous though, because I feel like you usually get it right. I'm just such a wimp. Like I am so scared to be cold, even if it's like I know I'm going to warm up in 10, 15 minutes. That fear of being cold for 10 to 15 minutes just makes me layer up. And then I'm like, I'll deal with it. Like I'll sweat through everything that I'm wearing versus being cold for 10 minutes.
I feel that. It was actually really funny when I was doing the layering leading up to Jersey City.
Yeah.
I was wearing more layers than my friends who I normally wear far fewer layers than they do. And they're like, what is happening? But Vicky, the amount of laundry that led me to do, I was like, this is unsustainable with my life. In that
I do laundry all the time. I just went to your apartment for the first time ever, which is crazy to say.
Yeah.
But do you guys have a washer dryer?
Not in unit, but it's in my building.
Okay. So like downstairs.
Yeah.
You're a true New Yorker. See, I don't know, because I do so much laundry because I'm constantly wearing layers. And I don't know why. Like if I wear the piece of clothing, I think honestly, this is really embarrassing to say on this podcast, I think I'm just lazy to put it back up. Just throw it into my – oh my gosh. This is terrible for the environment. I have to change my ways.
It's almost like the laundry basket is like its own dresser.
Yes.
And I've been known to take things out of the laundry basket and re-worn it. Yes. And if you haven't, you're lying.
No, I've fully done that. The problem with being a runner and doing that though is like sometimes your clothes are actually so sweaty and then you throw them on top of the non-sweaty clothes and then you're like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. One thing I've started doing, actually, I have some hooks on my door.
Mm.
I started hanging up my clothes after finishing a run, and they'll stay there until my next set of clothes need to replace it. So by the time they hit the laundry basket, they're dry. Although, yes, oh gosh, on Wednesday, we had our first torrential summer storm downpour.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Treg was stuck in this. She texted me.
Yeah. So I did my workout with a couple of friends. Great. In the cool down, So I have this, I was like, I feel like it's going to rain. I think there's going to be a thunderstorm. I knew rain was on the forecast, but not a storm. And then I look up and like a flash of lightning. I was like, great. 30 seconds later, torrential. And we're in the park and we're like, well, we, you know, ideally would not be outside right now. Not necessarily because of the rain, more so because of the lightning. And actually, apparently there was a lightning strike. There's like a map, a lightning strike map. And apparently there was like a dot on like 93rd between Columbus and Amsterdam. And we were just about there, but in the park.
Oh, like, my goodness. Yeah.
So I guess like 93rd basically, but further east. Yeah. So yeah, we definitely heard that because that was like lightning and then immediate thunder. And it was just,
that's,
I was
like, insane. Oh,
boy. But when I got back home, I was dripping. So this is all to say that I went from hanging things up on the hook to actually just hanging things over my shower rod because otherwise, like, I just have a puddle on the floor in my room. And
that's the way to do it.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like putting a towel down on the floor, I guess. It was more efficient to just keep it all in the
bathroom. See, that makes a lot of sense. I also have to say, during this conversation, I've been thinking about randomly, like, some Instagram reel that I saw, which was the best reminder that I think we all need as we approach these summer months, is like, you're not getting slower and you're not becoming a worse runner. Like, the weather is just going to be terrible. It's going to be humid. It's going to be gross. It already was humid. That's why we had some thunderstorms. Like, East Coast running, that you're going to feel like crap for the next few months. But always remember that, what is the saying? Summer training leads to fall PRs. So
yeah,
let's get that tattooed. Let's get on a shirt.
Yeah, on a t-shirt. That's our segment. What would you put on a t-shirt this week? And that's what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, so shout out Amanda Katz. She posted a photo of herself after a run and people were asking about her outfit details. And I was the one who responded being like, okay, that's all cute and everything, but like, who did your tattoo? Because she has a really cool line tattoo of the New York City Marathon course. And I was like, that's dope. And she shared that information with me, which was very cool.
That's so cool.
So maybe that's what I'll get.
I think you need to have, like, that is you. If for anyone listening who, like, doesn't know Treg as well as I do, like, Treg will run the New York City Marathon when she's 95 years old. Like, Treg is synonymous with the New York City Marathon, and our coach Nick is always trying to get her to not run it, and it keeps pulling her back. And every year she runs it, it will be hot weather.
I know. I will. I don't know if I'm going to run it this year yet. Yeah. I haven't fully committed to not running it because it pains me emotionally. Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see.
We're eventually, for everyone listening, one of our main conversations that we want to have today on this podcast is just like how to know if you're ready to run a marathon or if you should even run a marathon. For what it's worth, you don't have to run a marathon to be a runner. We all know that. But one of our followers and friends and one of my clients asked me, like, can you guys cover this on the podcast? Because I think that'd be really interesting to talk about. And both Treg and I were like, we are all over that. So that'll be something we discuss a little bit later in today's episode. First, we have two things to cover. Number one is Treg and I went for a beautiful group run in Central Park this past weekend. We want to tell you guys all about it. And number two, I've had some serious pigeon drama. My life. Which one should we start with, Treg? What do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with the run, I think, because that's in order. And also because we never know where a pigeon conversation is going to take us, right? Like, we could talk about that for hours.
Yeah, I think our listeners are ready for that. I also got a couple comments on, like, the pigeon stuff this week, so we can go into that as well. Yeah. But let's start with the run because pigeons are also involved in this run.
I was going to say there's a segue at the end for sure.
Yeah. So we had a wonderful weekend. We met up with a couple of our friends, Amanda Katz and Nick. Shout out to their podcast. But I believe it's Between Two Coaches. we met up with them. We had a couple other friends out there in Central Park. We, of course, if you're with Treg, you have to loop the park. There's no other way. There's no other way to go for a run with Treg unless you're ready to loop the park and get ready for the hills. Harlem Hill, though we only did Harlem Hill once.
Yeah.
But if it were up to Treg, we probably would have done it multiple times. So thankful someone put their foot down there.
Yeah, I think Amanda was like, Treg, get it under control. Yeah. And I was like, okay, fine.
So we had a wonderful run. What do we have any good conversations that we want to bring onto the pod? Anything you can think of?
I'm quiet, not because we didn't. I'm just trying to remember what we talked about because it was a lot of things.
One of our friends brought me a crown and a tiara and a sash for my birthday, a belated birthday. And I was wearing it the entire run, and the amount of people that thought it was like a bachelorette party or I was getting married, everyone was stopping to say, congrats, oh, we're so happy for you. And Amanda every time was like, it's her birthday, she's not getting married.
Although, shout out to my alma mater, because one person wearing a t-shirt from there said happy birthday, and I was like, you see, gotta love it. Gotta love it.
To be fair, the sash was white, so it's a little confusing. It's very bridal.
It's giving bridal.
It's giving bridal. I'm on the bridal pass. Sure about me is giving bridal, except for the fact that I am married, but I don't really didn't have a traditional wedding or anything. So that was a fun part. What else did we do? We went to Yankees game after, which was lots of fun, lots of pigeons to be found there.
Yeah, but I know we're amped about the pigeons, but after we ran, we went to brunch, which was tasty.
Oh, we did go to brunch. I had a matcha margarita.
After having a matcha lavender oat milk. I was like, yes,
for anyone wondering, I did have Tailwind in my water bottle. Of course.
If anyone doubted you before, they don't doubt you now.
I just have to let them know because it's an addiction. But that's also why I love matcha, because if I have my matcha, doesn't have as much caffeine in it than coffee, so I can have my Tailwind and then have the matcha, and it's like the perfect amount without making me want to go crazy.
Whatever literally helps you sleep at night, that works.
Yeah, except for both of those don't.
I know, exactly. I'm like, whatever mix helps. And whatever you tell yourself, that's fine.
Eddie, if you guys haven't seen in my stories, I am not only addicted to Tailwind. Maybe this should become like a what am I obsessed with for the week? Because it changes frequently, except for Tailwind. But my iced lavender cream oat milk matcha latte, which I just heard Starbucks is getting rid of soon.
I know. I saw Kylie posted about it.
Yes, she did. She posted that they're going to be taking it away, which was the most devastating experience of my life. If you haven't tried one, and I wish that I could say this about like a small business, but unfortunately I have to say this about Starbucks because they probably do something to their drinks that makes us addicted to it. If you haven't tried it, go try it. It's so good.
Yeah, I haven't tried it. I think in part, so I was looking at the ingredients and it's
– don't tell me about the ingredients.
No. It's fine for you. It's not fine for me because I'm vegan.
The cream
is not vegan.
That's a good point.
Even though it's an oat – it's confusing because it's like a lavender oat milk thing. So you sort of think it will be.
It's oat milk.
I was double checking.
It's a trick.
So I haven't been brought in to this particular
obsession
for that reason.
That's a good point.
But I think that's probably for the best. Otherwise, I would also be seriously disappointed like you are right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is probably for the best. You're right. And they really – they do this with their seasonal drinks. Like I was addicted to their toasted vanilla latte, oat milk latte last year. I believe it is back for the summer, so I should be going back. But I also bought the toasted vanilla syrup, so I just make it at home.
She's a DIY girly.
I'm a DIY girly, except for I tried with the lavender cream. Yeah. And they must use a lot of heavy cream. Like too much for me to make it at home and be like, this is really sweet. Anyways, is now a good time for our pigeon segue?
Okay, yeah. So actually, after then we went to brunch, which was delicious. I had an acai bowl and french fries. Great combo.
Yes.
I'll let you, you know, I had them separately. I was going to be like, I'll let you think about like maybe I put them in. No, it wasn't. No.
Yeah, you're not that crazy.
No. Afterwards, we went to the Yankees game, and which was really fun. I am a Mets fan. I'm like a weird combo of Giants, Rangers, Mets.
Yeah, that is a weird combo.
You know, Giants, Rangers, Knicks, if you want to cover both winter sports, Mets.
Yeah.
I really like Vicky and her husband and their friends. And so I toughed it out. So but also, dragged. I don't care enough. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's fun. It's the vibes.
It's for the vibes. Exactly. It was.
Oh my God. It was super vibes. Super vibes.
I am a horrible, I love baseball games. I think they're fantastic. But in no way, shape, and form am I there for the actual baseball. Because as we had this conversation on the field, not on the field, while we were watching, it's kind of boring. It's kind of boring. I'd rather watch people run a marathon for 3 hours than like trying to hit a baseball for 3 hours. That to me is just so – it's like golf. My husband's going to kick me out of this house.
I was going to say, I was like, between the golf and the baseball.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has their interests.
I love the experience around baseball, though. And I've never watched, like, I've never been to a golf tournament, so I don't know exactly how I'd feel about that. I feel like maybe I would like it. But I just love, like, getting a beer, watching the game, everyone, like, kind of vibing. Do I ever watch the game at all? No. Do I have any idea what's going on? Also, no. Do I look for pigeons the whole time? Yes. Are they around? Yes.
They are around. And I said this to you on text the other day. I was like, I don't know if there are more or if I'm just noticing them more now.
Okay. But this is the pigeon segue that we've been waiting for. This is it here.
Dragon. I had one segue in mind, but I was going to tell folks I had like 10K repeats on Wednesday.
Yeah. Which is an insane workout, by the way.
Sorry, it wasn't a full 10K. It was like different intervals at 10K pace.
My God. I was like, that's crazy.
The only time I have like, that's a different phase of training. But no, I wasn't doing full 10Ks. It was shorter intervals at 10K pace. But the pigeons were there, I'd like to think, cheering me on. But
they are
inserting themselves in my flight path. And I dodged them a couple of times. I was like, they do have the audacity, which I admire. So, you know.
They do have the audacity.
Heart of a pigeon, baby.
Yeah. Yep.
So that wasn't quite the segue. I think the segue was that we had a couple of pigeons watching the game with us.
We did.
Every time one flew by, Vicky would go, pigeon. And I just like super quickly turned my head. I just almost did that. And I was like, you're not going to hear my voice if I do that because it's going to go across the mic. But Sam was like, oh my God. Yeah, like every 30 seconds.
People are annoyed to be around us.
Just in general.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. So this is when I get to talk about my pigeon drama, because I feel like the fact that I didn't get this on video just proves that I am a terrible influencer / content creator because I'm not constantly filming, and B, that like, I just couldn't believe what was happening, and I didn't think that anyone would believe me that it happened. So I was just like, I just don't need, anyways, let me tell the story. So my husband and I are sitting on our couch last night watching TV. It's like 7:30 p.m. And I actually think I was on the phone with my sister, which is why I didn't start filming it right away. All of a sudden, I guess the way I can describe this is like, in order to come into our house, you have to walk upstairs, and there's like a little, like there's part of our door is underneath like an awning or like another building, I guess. Our door is like underneath something.
Another structure.
Another structure, exactly. And our living room is like right, like when you enter the front door, that's our living room. You're like in our living room. So I can see my front door from the couch very easily. And I'm on the phone with my sister, and all of a sudden there's like a huge like spectacle on our front porch, which looked to me like a pigeon was flying into our front door, which is exactly what happened. It like flew into that area and like dramatically, like not just like casually flying and like it like hit the window or something. I don't even know what happened. I don't think it actually did, but like that's how it sounded. And I was like, I looked at my husband. I was like, what was that? And he's like, I think it was a pigeon. And I was like, no fucking way. What are you talking
like,
about?
Are you kidding right now?
So immediately Kofi realizes something's out on the porch. So he starts barking. And I was kind of like, okay, well, it's going to fly away clearly. Kind of forgot about it. Still talking to my sister. 10 minutes later, it's still pecking around there to the point where like it's starting to peck at our door and it's on our door ledge. And Kofi hears it again and goes up to it and is like sniffing under the door and like barking at it. And I'm like, no way is this pigeon still here. Like what am I supposed to do? Sam and I look at each other. We're like, should we open the door? Like, we can't open the door. It's literally right in front of our door. It's going to fly into our door or Kofi's going to like go insane. And so we kind of just leave it again because I'm like, it's going to fly away. Like, there's no way it's going to stay here. It's still there after an hour. So finally I said to Sam, I was like, okay, we have to do something about this pigeon because like it's probably injured. Like, I don't know what it needs out there. And we're going to forget about this and I'm going to open the door tomorrow to take Kofi on a walk and it's going to scare the living crap out of me. Like and Kofi's going to go ballistic. It's going to be like 6 a.m. We're going to wake up the whole neighborhood. So that's how my brain works. Like, I am very like, these are the most insane possible situations. So for that reason, we need to act now so that these insane circumstances. Sam, in the meantime, is looking at me like, do we really have to do this right now? Like, it's going to fly away. We're going to be fine. You don't have to worry about it tomorrow. And I'm like, but what if it stays there? What if it lays eggs there? Like, what should we do? So immediately we go through our garage. We leave Kofi inside, obviously. And as we're approaching it, walking up the steps, it flies away. And not only does it fly away, it left us a whole bunch of poop on our stoop. Maybe I should take a picture of that before I clean it
up. Poop on the stoop.
Poop on the stoop. People won't believe me that this happened, but I haven't cleaned up the poop yet, so maybe I should do that. And then people will believe me. But yeah, pigeons poop a lot. Also, listening to this story, it has to have some kind of meaning. Like, what do we think this means?
Sound off in the comments.
Is this a good omen or a bad omen? That's my question.
Oh, good. We're gonna give it good omen energy.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I fully went there to the pigeon. Like, I went outside with the intention to help it. And to like take it inside if I needed to. Like, this was my moment to adopt a pigeon, but it flew away. So what does that mean?
Do you know why it was there? I just realized, I think.
Why?
To wish you luck for this weekend.
And Treg, you're just so good at segues too.
Thank you.
I think people are just over talking about pigeons. So let's segue to this weekend. Friends, I'm signed up for a race once again.
Yeah.
I'm doing a 10K. I am very excited. I was texting with our coach, Nick, earlier this week, and I was like, I honestly don't even remember what my 10K PR is. I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to go into this completely blind and hopefully have a lot of fun. Look, I said this about the last half marathon that I was really looking forward to it and I wanted to have fun, and we all know what happened there. So I am excited. I'm excited to see what happens. I know that I'm going to get through this one because this is part of my journey. I also am signed up for a discovery call with a potential therapist for next week. So the journey continues.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How have you been doing any 10K specific work?
No.
In case people are curious.
None.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Why I say amazing is I feel like that like lessens the pressure, right? It's not like, exactly. Oh, this is my goal race. This is like a check-in almost. It's like, where am
I? Totally.
Yeah.
And that's such a good way to put it too, because I think a lot, like I put a lot of pressure on myself for the Jersey City half as well, thinking like, this is my goal race for the spring. So I think this will be super helpful. It's also not far away from home for me too. So it's going to feel very much like a regular morning where I'm just kind of going out and doing my run in my neighborhood and that's it.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the farmer's market after. So really looking forward to that.
Oh, the farmer's market like near the marina?
No, we have like a special one by up like in our neighborhood that just opened for the season last weekend. And they have amazing vendors, like really, really good vendors. They have one specific one that I'm excited to go to, like this pasta club where they make their own pasta. So we're probably going to pick some of that up. I want to get some fresh flowers, some vegetables, things like that. So it's going to – it feels like I'm excited for the whole day and not just like the 10K, which is also really good, I think, for my – the pressure that I put on myself and like how I look at competitions. So
amazing.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. I'm bummed. Yeah. I can't be there just to make it about me for a second. but yeah, I'm out of town this weekend. Otherwise I would be there. So have fun. And
thank you.
Eat something.
I can't wait
delicious.
To recap it. I'm excited to recap it too, because I honestly feel as much as this is going to come out wrong, but I just want to say it and then we can maybe reframe it.
We can workshop it.
I am excited to talk about it with you guys next week because it almost like it's not therapy, but it feels very therapeutic, like especially going through the Jersey City half and being able to come on this podcast and discuss like what I went through and what that felt like for me was really helpful. So I'm excited through this journey of just me racing more and figuring out exactly what my trauma is with competition and why I had a panic attack and everything. It's really exciting to then be able to talk about it, not only with you, Treg, but be able to like have this experience where I can kind of go through it and have a better understanding myself. I mean, this is why therapy is so successful for a lot of people. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not therapy, but it is therapeutic.
100%. There's definitely like a key difference between those two things.
Yes.
But a common theme, I think, is that sometimes saying things out loud
totally
can be really helpful for different reasons. But I think maybe in this instance, it's like giving you a little clarity as to what's actually going on. Because if you're vocalizing, you're sort of forced to like think about it to that next step.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I find that helpful sometimes for me if I'm like getting nervous about something, I'll say it out loud and then I either am like, wow, that was kind of silly and I built it up to something else in my head, or like, no, this is legitimate, but now that it's out there, like, let's figure out how to address it.
Yeah.
Versus just like worst case scenarioing in my own head, which I can be quite creative sometimes. I'm just saying.
So can I. I can be really mean to myself too, which is not fun.
No.
And I feel like in order to – like when I have this conversation with other people, I am able to see it from a different perspective versus just like beating myself up over it. So I think that's super helpful too. And I'm excited to be able to do that next week. It also is really crazy to me that – I felt this way going into the Jersey City half. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this weekend. And like, hopefully, obviously I'm hoping for the best, but again, I've said this before, I wasn't lying when I said I was really excited for the Jersey City half. So it'll be interesting to like see what my headspace is like during the race. And I don't know what the answer is going to be to that. And to be able to kind of debrief all of that will also be fun. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Cool.
And that's also, I think, huge case in point. Like, you don't have to run a marathon to be a runner.
But the Segway queen, Trey.
You can't see my face right now. Well, Vicky can. But I am
the Segway queen. Yes. I love that you took it there because I really want to have this conversation next as well, which is, when are you ready to run a marathon? What's the – when I – okay, you and me in this podcast, if I ask you that question point blank, when are you ready to run a marathon? In one sentence, what's your answer?
When you want to.
Okay. I like that.
I'm like taking advantage of the one sentence to not elaborate. But yeah, if you want, yeah. Let me flip that question back to you. And then I think we can like elaborate on why we mean that.
Yeah. Yeah. So my one sentence answer to that question would be, can I take your answer? No, I think I would say, gosh, why did I make this so hard asking you in one sentence?
And you asked me first, so I had an advantage.
I think it's, you might not feel ready, but when you are in the season of your life that allows for the time to do so, which I think is important because, you know, to kind of go off of what Treg said, sometimes it's not enough to just want to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to recognize like, okay, I want to run a marathon, but I'm getting married in 6 months. I'm starting a new job. I just had a baby. I just adopted a dog, right? Like there's so many factors that are involved in that can absolutely make you feel like running a marathon isn't the first thing on your list. Not that it has to be the first thing, but I'd be lying if it said it didn't take a lot of time. So I think recognizing that like it also has to kind of be right timing as well.
Right timing.
Give nuance into it.
Yeah, 100%. So I think probably the combo of our two sentences is sort of where I actually kind of fall. But what I do think is like sometimes life is going to come up, but that doesn't mean you can't run a marathon. It might mean you need to adjust. And I know you're not saying that, but just to like further elaborate is like you might need to adjust your training and or your expectations.
Yes.
Which is huge, I think, going through a cycle. Even if like, let's say, oh, I have a perfectly clear calendar for the next however many weeks, months, it's going to be smooth sailing, a perfect training block because I don't have any like foreseeable hurdles. Chances are you're going to, like, it's a long time.
It's life.
And you're putting your body through something really challenging.
Yeah.
So it's like, is the time right? And also like, are you able to pivot, adjust, you know, expectations, training, what have you. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have a great race. And so it's about like adjusting the training in the interim period to set you up for a good day. It's not so it's not like, oh, well, you can't do it, so we're just going to adjust everything down. It's like, no, you're adjusting to optimize under the current circumstances. But like, let's take a step back because I think like when you want to and when you have the time to are all good and well. And I say want to, I think in part because of the time commitment, like it takes a lot of time.
It encompasses that.
Dedication, discipline, motivate, whatever you want to phrase it as. But running the thing itself is hard. And then also like I wouldn't recommend going from running 0 miles a week to training for a marathon in 12 weeks. Not saying it cannot be done, but I wouldn't recommend it. So go ahead.
I'm really happy that you just said that. Okay. So this is a very important conversation. I actually just made a little bit of like a reel about it that I posted already on Instagram, specifically about like the amount of time that it takes. And I think a lot of people have this idea that it's like, oh, a marathon is a 16 or 20 week training block. And that's how long I need to commit to it. And that's all I need. And as long as I give myself 20 weeks, then I'll be 100% fine no matter what. And I think that is quite possibly the worst thing that you can do when it comes to your training. Because A, when you think of yourself and like put yourself in this kind of generic block where like, oh, 20 weeks works for every single person. Great. It's going to work for me. That's not true. B, I think a lot of people take that as like, okay, it's a 20-week training block from zero.
Yeah.
And that's where you get a little bit – that's not true. I think a lot of those generic plans are built off of the idea that like you already have a solid base and now you're starting marathon training off of a solid base. And like the first long run is like 12 or 14 miles. And a 12 or 14 mile long run in a 20 week training block, if you're coming from zero, is going to be a huge increase from nothing. And it's going to be really, really tough to be able to do that. So I just want people to recognize that, like, this is going to sound scary, but I really think that reframing your perspective, and this is exactly what I said in my reel, reframing your perspective on timing can be so helpful, especially if you are someone who knows you have big goals. And this isn't for everyone. Someone might be just be like, I just want to complete a marathon. I don't care at all what time it is. I don't care at all what happens. I don't care if I walk. I don't care if I like high five people. And I love that for everyone. I still think obviously you need to train a little bit because you want to feel confident. But for many, I don't think that's the case. What ends up happening, and I'm saying this as an experienced coach at this point, what ends up happening is people start to ramp up their training. They run their first like 16 mile or 18 miler. And then they're like, what time can I run this marathon in? What can I possibly do that? Like, what can I, and it starts to put these ideas in your mind because you're putting so much time into it. And of course it's okay to have goals and to be able to do all of this stuff. Like, that's great. That's not a problem. But if you, and I'm this way, so that's why I'm also kind of coming from this perspective. If you know yourself and you're like, I'm kind of mildly competitive and I have things like goals that I want to achieve, a 20-week training block coming from zero is not enough time. And that includes strength training, that includes a base build, all of that stuff. It is not enough time to do that. So I would say, this is going to sound crazy, I would say a year is a training block.
If you're starting from zero.
If you're starting from zero and if it's your first marathon and if you haven't been running any races and you haven't been strength training, starting from zero and going into a 20-week training block is really hard to do. So like Treg said, if that's you and you're listening, you're like, shoot, I have a fall marathon and I'm kind of starting from zero. Don't panic. It's okay. No. Just maybe adjust your goals a little bit and just be put it into perspective. Okay, I'm going to get through this marathon and then maybe I want to run another one again and I'll be a little bit more realistic on timing.
Yeah. And or like maybe training goes perfectly and swimmingly, but like, don't freak out if it doesn't, and don't freak out if the race doesn't go as you planned, because chances are a lot of the people who you see running the marathon or have seen running marathons have that base or other experience
that
unlocks that. So, I mean, like, endurance is a tough thing in that it's not, because it's like, it's time. And it's tough because it's like, how do you keep that time consistent? And there's so many things that go into that. But it's just like, sometimes like, oh, you know, you can't really shortcut your way around it. Not that anyone like wants to. And it's crazy that we say 20 weeks is like short. It's not. 20 weeks we know is long. And that's why Vicky was saying it's so crazy to say a year. But it's like, it's really to help set yourself up for success and like, enjoy it.
Exactly.
Not get injured, ideally.
So that's the other thing too, is like my perspective. This is something that you should know about me if you don't actually, if you've never had a conversation with me or anything. My perspective is always going to come from the, you know, physical therapy, reduce your risk of injuries is the number one most important thing you can do for anything. And that's why I think it sounds so intense that it's like 20 weeks isn't enough. You need a full year. And like some people might hear that and be like, these people, I don't know what they're talking about. Like I was fine on a 20-week training block. And like that's all good and fine. But if you understand how the body works, and if you really, really want to be smart about your training, then I think looking at it differently can be such a game changer, like in a good way. If you start to look at it like, okay, if I want to go for a marathon, I know how much time it's going to take and I'm ready for that because I've given myself enough time.
100%.
And that's ultimately what it is.
Yeah. So I think we're aligned that it's just sort of like, there's a mental component. There is a schedule and flexibility component, which in turn is, you know, a privileged thing. One thing I want to flag that we're not saying is you have to have run X number of 5Ks. You have to have run X number of 10Ks, X number of halves. None of that. You can have your first race be a marathon. We're not 100%. Saying that it can't be.
You can do whatever you want. Like
that's true.
I think that also encompasses, you can listen to this conversation and be like, I never want to run a race ever. We've said this before on this podcast. This is just more so like, I think right now, the beginning of May is like very much the season that people are starting to think, you know, we just went through Boston. We just went through London. People are starting to sign up for marathons. And I just want to make sure that you're being realistic about the timing that you're giving yourself. And if this conversation is making you nervous about the marathon that you have on the calendar, I also don't want it to come off that way, because you can do whatever you want. It's just a matter of recognizing how to set those goals and what those goals are going to look like and be realistic about those goals. Because I've also seen it the other way, where people sign up for a marathon, don't give themselves enough time, end up getting injured. I'm then the one talking to them with 3 weeks to go and they have this like huge hamstring injury or like Achilles tendonitis or something like that. And they're panicking. And like, that's not a fun place to be either. So I also think that there are some pretty huge like people on the internet, running influencers and all that, who sell these like, you know, 20-week plans that have no understanding of like, okay, this is where your base should be at. This is how you get started. And they just kind of like start you out with a bunch of speed work, which, by the way, speed work is not the most important thing when it comes to marathon training, especially if you're starting from zero. Number one thing is about building endurance, as Treg mentioned. So I just think there's so much that we have access to so much at this point. And I think that that can sometimes not be a great thing either.
Yeah. Access to so much, which I guess this is also a reminder to put yourself first in this context, because at the end of the day, all of this is going to be highly individualized. You might have a person who goes from 0 to 20 weeks and they run the marathon of their life. You might have someone where it's the opposite. Like, we're not saying that doesn't exist. We, in fact, very much so acknowledge that like range exists, and therefore you should not assume that one singular plan, what have you, is what works. I mean, like with my coach, Nick, our coach, Nick, like even like we've gone through a handful of marathon cycles together. We kind of change up what we do each time because we're trying to figure out what really works. Yeah. And so that's awesome. Like for me, I really like that. And I like the process. I like the journey. I like the race. Like, I'm not going to say I don't. And actually sitting here, I'm like, what made me want to run a marathon? Because when I first started running, I was actually pretty set on not running a marathon. I was like, I'm going to be a half marathoner. And like, that's going to be my thing. And there was actually, I think it was 2019 New York City Marathon. I was cheering my mom on. And I had started running and there was a person standing there asking like me and my dad who we were cheering on. I was like, oh, my mom. And he goes, oh, this gentleman asked me, do you think you'll ever run a marathon? I was like, no. Like I am strictly a half marathoner. And for no reason other than like, I really like the half marathon distance and I still do. But that was like my thought. I was just like, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to like get quote unquote good at, whatever. And that changed, but like I can't remember why, if I'm being completely honest.
I've said this before on like different podcasts. I went through the same exact thing. I remember saying I'm never gonna run a marathon, like there's no way, it doesn't make any sense to me. And what changed for me was the New York City Marathon. I was volunteering 1 year, and the day after I volunteered, I signed up for the Toronto Marathon, which ended up getting canceled in 2020. So it kind of, you know, I hate this conversation and I love this conversation. I hate it for one reason in particular. I don't love to be like glorifying the marathon and like saying like, oh, everyone should like go through this in order to like – that's absolutely not it. I just see a lot of runners who like get into the sport of running and racing end up eventually – pivoting and running a marathon, even if they say they don't want to. By the way, still the majority of runners have never run a marathon. So it which is great. Like, I think that's fantastic. I think all of the other distances are amazing in their own right. What I wanted to talk about with the marathon specifically that I haven't really felt with other distances is, like, it is super humbling.
Yep.
And I'm sure this is the same way with ultras. And as you just get, the more time you spend out there, like, it's hard no matter what. And doesn't mean that a 5K isn't hard. Doesn't mean that a 10K isn't hard. They are absolutely hard in their own right in a different way. But something that I experienced for my very first marathon, which was New York City 2022, is, and something that was really humbling for me in particular, my whole Instagram name, Train Smart, Run Strong, like, really kind of, that is how I felt about everything. If you put in the right amount of training, if you're smart about your training, you can run strong. And boy, was that humbling, because I felt like I had the perfect training block going to New York, and yet you could still not have a great day. And it's just this, like, recognizing and understanding. I guess this is for every distance in running too. Like, sometimes it's just not your day. But I think either way, when I compare it to my Chicago experience and everything went quote unquote perfectly, it was still really freaking hard to be out there. It was really humbling. And I don't think I have run a marathon. I've only run two, to be fair. I don't think I've ever run a marathon and not thought, what the hell am I doing out here? Why did I decide to do this? Like, this is so hot. This is torture. Like, what's going on? So I think that in that sense, when we think of the marathon distance, like, it owes you nothing. It's incredibly humbling, and it is going to be hard regardless of how perfect your training cycle goes. And I think that's what makes it a little different than some of the shorter distance races, which, again, doesn't mean that these shorter distance races aren't hard in their own right. Am I making sense here, or am I just talking gibberish at this point?
No. You're making sense. Okay. I think they're just different.
Yeah.
They're hard in different ways, just like literally anything else in life.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I'm like doing some 10K training, and like that for speed work back, I was like, ouch.
Oh my God.
I would much rather do a 20-mile long run with a tempo in it than whatever the heck I did on Wednesday.
I don't remember the last time I like tasted blood in my mouth from like running so fast. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you don't really get that from marathon training.
No.
Which again, it's cool to do all. It's kind of cool to do all of it. And it's good for your body to do all of it.
Yeah.
Too. So, you know, to kind of wrap this part of the conversation up, how do you know you're ready to run a marathon? First of all, you have to want to run it for yourself, not just because of social media, not just because of Boston looks cool, not just because of, you know, oh, all of my friends are doing it, whatever. You have to run it for yourself for whatever reason that is. And number two, just being realistic on time, because I think that social media makes it feel like training for a marathon doesn't actually take a while. And people are constantly training for marathons. They go from, like, you know, block to block where they're always doing something. But in reality, it takes a lot of time. And if you want to make sure that you're reducing your risk of injuries, don't just think like, oh, 20-week training block, couch to marathon, like it's going to be great. I would probably recommend looking at it from a bigger picture perspective, saying, okay, how am I addressing this year and training when it comes to my marathon?
Yep. I think that's cool. A perfect summary.
Love it. Love that.
Love it.
Okay. Something I wanted to start on this podcast. I meant to bring this up before, but I just completely forgot about it. And one of my followers reached out and asked if we could do something like this. And I thought it was a great idea.
Okay.
I want to start doing shout outs for like different runners. If you are listening to this and you're a fan of our podcast and you want to feel like you're out there running with us, if you don't mind, send me a little blurb about like something fun or cool or something that you're proud of or something that has really clicked with you recently in your running, something positive. I definitely want to keep it positive. Can be the smallest thing ever, can be something bigger, doesn't matter. Shoot me a blurb and I want to share it. I want to share it here because I think that this is, I'm all about right now focusing on the positives. I don't know if you saw me post on my story, Treg. I said, like, I'm over highlighting negative comments on my Instagram. Like, I just want to focus on the positive stuff. I think that's going to help me mentally. I also just want it to feel like it's a positive space. And I want to do that here too. So if you're listening, shoot me a message. Say, hey, listen to your episode. Is it episode 5? Oh my goodness. Episode 5 of your podcast. And I want to share something with you guys that happened in my running. Give me your name and let me know if I can share it. Or if you want to stay anonymous, that's fine too. And I think we should end the podcast that way.
I love that. That's a really good idea. Thanks.
Thanks.
Listener. Thanks,
follower. Yeah.
Follower. Yeah. First shout out is to them.
First shout out is to them. And to be honest, I don't know if they shared their name. So if this is you and you listen, please message me again. And yeah, do you have anything fun and positive you want to end this with?
Of my own?
Yeah, of your own.
I love it. I'm like, of my own? Do I have anything? It's not running related, but I got out on my bike for the first outside for the first time this season last night, which was really fun. I like mixing it up, especially during the summer.
That's great.
I tend to use my bike inside in the winter, but it was just really nice to see everyone out and about yesterday, enjoying the park and whatnot. So
amazing.
So yeah, that's my positive thing. How about you?
That's great. My positive thing. Oh, well, I guess it's something that I have done for 2 weeks in a row now, but I've been loving track workouts.
Ooh.
I roll up to that track. It helps that it's also like a gorgeous track, like right on the water looking
at that's Manhattan. Nice.
That's helpful. It like kind of motivates me a bit because I'm like, damn, it's a nice day. It's a beautiful track. You know how like it smells good sometimes?
You're yeah.
Like, smells like I'm going to work hard. that is how – and it is still really – like she's a tough gal, that track. But
yeah,
I've been feeling like I've been enjoying those workouts, which is really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
It. Awesome. All right. Well, we will see everyone or talk to everyone for episode 6. Hope you enjoyed the pod today. Reach out. Tell me something positive, and we'll see you then.
Thanks all. Have a good week.